Good morning. Thank you for joining me today for Sunday morning with Love and Action. Hope you're having a good weekend. We are only 3 days away from Christmas, so I know a lot of people are busy. Many are traveling, and I just pray that you have very safe travels and have an awesome Christmas. Celebrate it with your family, but let's make sure we are celebrating our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are Christmas Eve services scheduled, and I hope you plan to attend one. Invite friends and family to go with you. It's a great opportunity to share the real meaning of Christmas with those that you love. Today, we're going to talk about peace on earth. That's what Jesus brings us. And before we get into the Word, let's go to our Lord in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we love you and we celebrate you. We thank you for your birth. We thank you for coming here to earth, living a perfect life for us, dying for our sins, rising from the grave to give us eternal life with you. Lord, we can't thank you enough, but I thank you that we will have all eternity to keep praising you and keep thanking you. Father God, I want to lift up everyone listening today. God, many will be traveling this coming week, and I pray for safe travels for each one, Father. God, I pray that as we celebrate Christmas, I pray that our focus will be where it's supposed to be, and that's on you, to celebrate your awesome gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, to bring salvation to all of us, to bring your peace. Father God, you offer that all to every one of us, and we just have to receive. So Lord, I pray that if anyone is listening who have never received your gift of salvation, I pray that today will be the day that your Holy Spirit will draw them to you. Father God, as we open up your word, we ask you to speak to us, reveal all truths to us. Holy Spirit, teach us. And God, we give you all praise, all honor, and all glory. And it's in your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. The world says it wants peace. The world's peace isn't working, though, is it? I mean, we see it every day on the news. We can read about it in the newspapers online. And the world is filled with political strife, corruption, economic turmoil, military wars, tariff wars, violence, racial hatred, and the list goes on and on. There's not a lot of peace in this world. The main reason why is peace is being sought the wrong way. We need to find peace, and we can only find peace in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He tells us in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Jesus gives us peace, so we don't have to be troubled. We don't have to be afraid. We can live in his peace even when all this chaos is going on around us and around this world. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians 4:7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Peace. We want peace. We need peace. Jesus brings peace. Jesus gives us peace. And his peace will guard our hearts and guard our minds no matter what is going on. As we are in the Christmas season, we read about Jesus, the birth of Jesus, and all the implications of why Jesus was born, why Jesus came to earth, God in the flesh. And today I want us to focus on his peace and see how he brought peace in troubled times then, and he still does now. When we think about the birth of Jesus, we think about Mary, and she gave birth to Jesus, and that whole beginning of the process of Jesus being born had to be stressful. I often think about Joseph, and he definitely had to be under a lot of stress. He was engaged, the Bible terms it betrothed, and in the culture there and in those times, it was like they were married, but they weren't living together. They were not having premarital sex, but they were committed to one another. They were young and they were in love. And I cannot imagine the feelings that Joseph felt when Mary came up to him and said, "Hey, I'm pregnant." And he knew they had not been together sexually. They had kept themselves pure. So the hurt, the anguish, how upset he must have been, just had to be pretty much overwhelming. However, the angel of the Lord delivered the good news about Jesus to Joseph, and that put him at peace. He received the peace of God. Let's read Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in the same way. When his mother, Mary, had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, being a just man, and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken through the prophet. "Behold, the angel shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke from the sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So Joseph was no doubt upset and just heartbroken. But he loved Mary still, and he was going to divorce her. They weren't married, but the way an engagement was back then, like I said, you basically are. You're just not living together yet. And he was going to divorce her quietly. But a divorce in that time and that culture really stayed with both the man and the woman the rest of their lives. And it was going to be a very tough thing for both of them. But the angel of the Lord brought the good news about the birth of Jesus. And we read that Joseph obeyed. He no doubt received the peace of God at that moment when he heard that his wife, his fiancée, soon to be his wife, was going to give birth to the Messiah. And so the peace of God just came upon Joseph, and he decided to obey God and not worry about what people were going to think and say about both of them, because they would be talked about, no doubt about that. But as we read that scripture, we see the angel tell Joseph that the child's name is going to be Jesus. Jesus means Savior. The name Jesus is a Greek translation of the Hebrew word Joshua, which means Yahweh saves. So how powerful of a name is that? And I really like a short devotional in the Jesus Bible about the name of Jesus. And it's titled Savior, Christ, Lord. And allow me to read this to you. The three titles, Savior, Christ, and Lord, summarize the work of the Messiah to save. What God was called in Luke chapter 1, verse 47, Savior, Jesus is called here. The description includes the related meanings of deliverer, protector, and preserver. The word Christ means anointed one, referring to Jesus' royal position, the one who was promised and long expected. The word Lord is the title of a ruler. The use of Lord throughout the New Testament is also significant because, out of reverence of God's covenant name, the Greek word for Lord stood in place of Yahweh in the Greek translation of the Old Testament. Peter elaborated on the meaning of these words in Acts chapter 2, verses 30 through 36, where Jesus is pictured as sitting on a throne and distributing the gift of salvation from God's side, ruling with the Father. In this way, Peter connected Jesus with God's promises to give David an everlasting kingdom. To refer to Jesus as a good man or a good teacher falls immeasurably short of reality. Jesus came to save people from their sins as promised. He came to minister, to suffer, and die, to rise again and rule and reign forever as Lord. This was the outworking of God's grand plan and what writers of Hebrews would call such a great salvation. So Jesus, He is Savior, He is the Christ, He is Lord, He is Messiah, He is God in the flesh. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And we see how the message about Jesus, about Him coming, brought peace to Joseph when his world, he thought, was falling apart. But the message from God about Jesus brought him peace. And the message of Jesus brings us peace today. Think about Mary. Here is a young lady who is just head over heels in love with Joseph, and they're planning their wedding. Then all of a sudden, the archangel Gabriel appears to her. And now Gabriel is just the most powerful angel. He's not a little fat cherub that you see statues of or whatever. Don't know where that came from. But Gabriel is this huge angel, powerful angel. And he is talking to Mary. And so that right there in itself would be enough to just stress her out and just be so unsettling, seeing this angel Gabriel talking to you. And Gabriel tells her that she's going to give birth. And that had to startle her and had to be unsettling news, knowing that she was a virgin and she's about to be married, and she's going to have to convince her husband-to-be that this child is actually from God and that she did not cheat on him. So we don't see in the Gospels these thoughts written, but being people, we know those kind of thoughts would be going on. But let's read about Gabriel talking with Mary and Mary learning what's about to happen in her life. That's in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb, and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How is this to be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Okay, put yourself in Mary's shoes. When the angel tells her that she's going to give birth to the Son of God, who's going to be named Jesus, and we know his name means Savior. And Mary and Joseph, they were well studied in the Old Testament, and so when the angel started speaking to her, she knew He was an angel of God. And as he spoke these words to her, we read where it was unsettling at first. But then the message of Jesus, once again, the message of Jesus brought peace to Mary. Now, she knew she was going to have to explain this to Joseph. She was going to have to explain it to her parents, to her friends. There's no telling what all people were going to say about her. Or we could imagine what people were going to say about her. But she didn't care because she wanted to obey God and listen to God above people. So she told the angel, "So be it. I'm God's servant. Let it be as you said it to me it's going to be." And it was important, too, very important. We can't understate the importance of Mary being a virgin. John MacArthur says this: "The importance of the virgin birth cannot be overstated. A right view of the incarnation hinges on the truth that Jesus was virgin born. Both Luke and Matthew expressly state that Mary was a virgin when Jesus was conceived. The Holy Spirit wrought the conception through supernatural means. The nature of Christ's conception testifies of both his deity and sinlessness." So Jesus' virgin birth is so important, and we can't ignore that or skip over that fact. That is just vital and so important to who Jesus is. Let's look at a few of the verses there, or a couple of the verses here, and look at verse 28, where we read about Mary, and the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Now make sure we understand that Mary is a recipient, not a dispenser, of God's divine grace. So Mary is receiving God's divine grace, his favor, to give birth to the Messiah. And in verse 38 is just so powerful when Mary, she's in this tough situation, but she is, especially in those days, in that culture, being an unwedded mother, it was not only looked down upon, but is also something that could be punishable by stoning because they could accuse her of adultery because she was betrothed to Joseph already. And if a woman slept with another man while they were engaged, while they were betrothed to their soon-to-be husband, to their fiancé, then that would be adultery. And at that time, that was punishable by stoning. But it didn't matter to her because she knew that God was doing something amazing in her life. And even though it looked like the deck was stacked against her in trying to explain this to people, and especially to Joseph, she instantly submitted to the will of God as she received his peace through the message that God sent about Jesus through the angel. You see, we can have peace no matter what's going on in our lives. Let's look at the birth of Jesus in Luke chapter 1, verse 7. In the birth of Jesus, there was a lot going on then as well. A lot of stressful moments going on for sure when we think about Mary and Joseph traveling. Let's read Luke chapter 2, we'll start in verse 1 and read through verse 7. "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn." Mary, giving birth to Jesus, was a pretty stressful time, I'm sure. When we think about everything that was going on, Joseph and Mary had to travel 70 miles through the mountainous terrain from Nazareth to Bethlehem to be registered as ordered by Caesar Augustus, who wanted a census to be taken. Now, the 70 miles, they weren't in a comfortable car or bus or a plane or anything like that. Riding a donkey and walking 70 miles. Can't imagine doing that, being pregnant or being the husband of a wife who was pregnant. Very stressful time, knowing she could give birth at any time. So here they are. They traveled. They made the trip to Bethlehem. The reason why they had to go to Bethlehem, as we read, was Joseph and Mary, too, they were descendants from David. And so they had to go to Judea to be registered. That grueling trip, they made it. You have to kind of wonder if they knew giving birth to the child there would also fulfill a prophecy in Micah chapter 5, verse 2 from the Old Testament, where we read, "But you, O Bethlehem, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient of days." So they make it to Bethlehem, but they can't find a place to stay. There's no room for them. And it's probably because so many people had returned back to that ancient city of Bethlehem to be registered for the census. Most scholars believe, when we read about the manger, that it was probably a cave, and that was probably used to store animals. We don't have an in-depth description of it all, but that's what they found. And the manger was a feeding trough where they laid the baby Jesus at when he was born. So that's pretty stressful. But when Jesus was born, we read and we sense peace, his peace coming into the world. And it's like everything became calm all of a sudden. For example, the shepherds, Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 18, and we're going to read verse 20. "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had saw it, they made known the saying that they had been told concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them." Verse 20, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them." So the shepherds, peaceful night, they were watching over their flock of sheep. Then all of a sudden, the heavenly host came, and they were just in awe by what they saw. They had to be pretty intimidated as well, but this news of the birth of Jesus brought peace to them. And we notice that they listened and they believed what they heard, and they took off to see it for themselves. And so they received the good news and they ran out to see what was going on and to see it for themselves in the town of Bethlehem. Now, Bethlehem is where David was born. And the angel announces that a Savior has been born. The angel tells the shepherds a Savior has been born. Now, this is only one of two places in the Gospels that Jesus is referred to as Savior. The other is in John chapter 4, verse 42. That's when Jesus talked to the Samaritan woman at the well, and she believed in Jesus, and she ran back to her village and told everybody, and they all believed in him too. And that was the second time that Jesus was called Savior. Of course, Christ is equivalent to Messiah. The word Lord, the word's mainly used to translate the covenant name of God. So here it is used as a way of a title of deity. And when we read about the host of heavenly angels, the host, that means an army encampment. There was an army of angels announcing the birth of Christ. So no wonder the shepherds were so afraid. They saw this army of angels, and that had to be beyond intimidating. And they were afraid, but this army of angels came to bring peace, the message of peace. And when they delivered that message, these angels, they received that peace. And they got all excited, and they ran to Bethlehem to find the Messiah. And they saw him. They saw Jesus and Mary and Joseph. And then they went out and told people. And that's what we need to do with the Messiah. We need to tell people about Jesus. We need to be like those shepherds. And they went back just praising and giving God all the glory. And we should be doing the same thing. And then back to Mary, we read in verse 19, after the shepherds had come, and shepherds told Joseph and Mary what the angels had told them. And then verse 19, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Mary heard what the shepherds said about her baby. And I'm sure she reflected back on what the angel had told her when God revealed to her that she was pregnant with the Messiah, even though she was a virgin. And so the shepherds were no doubt confirmation, and that gave her peace. Well, we know Jesus grew up, and his earthly ministry began when he was around 30 years old. And for 3 years, he brought much peace to people by serving them, through healing the sick, delivering the possessed, raising the dead, feeding the hungry, and then our Lord died on the cross. In the midst of that horrifying moment of being crucified, nailed to a cross, Jesus brought peace by saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's in Luke 23, verse 34. And Jesus arose to give all who believe eternal life. And there's no greater peace than that, than knowing that you can receive and have salvation, have eternal life. John 3:16-18, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Have you believed in Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord? Have you received his peace? Well, I want to encourage you to do so. You can surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ today. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10 tells us, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Call out to him today. He is awesome. He is the Prince of Peace. Experience his peace. Experience his love. Experience his forgiveness by just calling out on his name and surrendering your life to him. Well, I pray you all have a wonderful Christmas. Be safe traveling. And I pray that we all experience peace on earth, goodwill toward men.